just like you could never be bothered with me. I've become everything you ever hated, Father, and you don't know how warm that makes me feel inside. You were an unnatural child. You broke your mother's heart, and you would have broken mine if I'd let you. For a long time, I thought you were dead. I paid the assassin enough, but I never did see the body. I assume you slept the years away in stasis, like me.
Oh, yes, Father. I wanted to be here waiting for you when you finally reappeared. The Empress Lionstone found and awakened me, and I've spent the last few years amusing myself by acquiring every honor you ever had, and more. I'm Warrior Prime now, and official consort, and one day not too far off, I'll be Emperor. In the empire you helped make and believed in so fiercely, will kneel down and fear me. But don't worry, Father. I won't forget you. I'll keep your head in a glass case by my throne, so I can look at it every day and laugh.
You always did talk too much. Are you going to talk me to death, or shall we fight?
Oh, we're going to fight, Father. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And don't worry. If I look like losing, my people will kill you anyway.
You never did have any honor.
And you always had too much. Time to die, old man. I'm going to put you out of my misery.
As suddenly as that, they slammed together, blades flashing, attacking and parrying and leaping apart, all in a moment. Sparks flew where their swords met, and the air was full of the ring of steel on steel. They stamped back and forth, grunting with the effort of their blows, and slowly, foot by foot, Giles was driven back. He had already taken enough wounds to kill a lesser man, and Dram was fresh and unhurt, and a great deal younger. They fought on, oblivious to what was happening in the fighting around them. Two sides of a blood feud, begun 900 years before. Dram fought with a cold, grinning fury that poured strength into his blows, and Giles' arm was already tired from fighting the unnatural strength of the Wampir. But in the end, he was the Deathstalker. And Dram was not. Giles deliberately left an opening, and Dram lunged forward, his sword punching into Giles' left side, just below the ribs. Giles' left hand shot out and grabbed Dram's wrist, holding the blade in place. Dram tried to jerk his blade free and couldn't. Giles allowed him just enough time to realize that, and for the fear to grow in Dram's eyes. Then he thrust his own sword into his son's heart. Giles smiled into the dying eyes, as the light went out of them, and then pulled back his sword and let Dram's body fall unmoving to the ground. Giles carefully eased Dram's sword out of his side, let it drop, and looked challengingly around him. Most of the Imperial forces were dead or dying, but a handful of Wampir stood watching him thoughtfully. Beyond them, Owen and Hazel were still dueling with Captain Silence and the Investigator. Giles drew his disruptor and shot one of the Wampir. The energy beam tore right through its chest, and the force of the blow threw it off its feet. It lay still among the other bodies, and the other Wampir studied it for a moment, as though expecting it to get back up. When it didn't, they turned their dead faces back to Giles and formed a circle around him. They took their time. They knew he had nowhere to run. Giles swallowed hard and tried to control his harsh breathing. If he didn't finish the fight soon, he'd bleed to death before they could kill him. He could feel the blood coursing down his left leg from the ugly wound in his side. The Wampir studied it hungrily, and Giles shuddered in spite of himself. He was tired now and feeling his age, and after all, 6 Wampir would have been a bit much for him even in his prime.
Owen! Stop playing with that man and get after Moon! He's been gone too long! Something must have happened to him. We need the Hayden men.
Owen cursed silently. He had already used practically every trick he knew, and the captain was still beating him. But there was one thing he hadn't tried. Hazel had taught it to him. He'd avoided using it up till now because it was a frankly dishonorable way to win. But right then, losing struck him as even less honorable. He went blade to blade with Silence, glaring at the captain over the crossed swords, and brought his knee sharply up into Silence's groin. The captain's sword wavered as his eyes squeezed shut involuntarily. Owen beat the blade aside, grabbed a handful of Silence's tunic, and headbutted him in the face. Silence fell to his knees, blood streaming from a broken nose, and Owen turned and ran for the tomb of the Hayden men. The last thing he saw was the Wampir closing in around Giles, and the investigator driving Hazel back with a flurry of blows. He didn't look back again. He didn't dare. Owen found Moon easily enough. The augmented man's body was lying on the blood-drenched floor before the tomb of the Hayden men. The alien was squatting over him, tearing out handfuls of his exposed guts and feasting on them. It looked up unhurriedly as Owen entered, red strands hanging from its grinning steel teeth. Owen drew his disruptor and fired, but even with his new speed, the alien dodged the beam easily. Owen drew the projectile gun from his belt, and the alien surged toward him. Owen got off two shots, both of which ricocheted harmlessly from the alien's armor, and then the huge beast was upon him. There was no time to draw his sword, and Owen staggered backward, grasping the alien's wrists with both hands to keep the clawed hands away from his throat. The beast towered over him, its bloody teeth driving for his face. Owen released his hold, slumped down, and threw himself forward between the alien's legs. He hit the ground rolling and was quickly back on his feet, drawing his sword. The alien spun round to face him, and Owen met its cold grin with his own. He thought of Hazel and Giles, left to face the Imperial forces alone, of Ruby and Random left for dead, and of Moon dying so close to everything he dreamed of. And rage swept through him, cold and fierce and unrelenting. In that moment, the alien represented everything the Empire had done to try and destroy him and those he cared for. He'd been unable to boost while facing the captain. In using the boost to throw off Ozymandias' mental control, he'd used up so much of himself he hadn't dared use it again. But now, he didn't give a damn. The alien had to die so that he could wake the Hayden men and save Hazel and Giles. Nothing else mattered. The alien swept forward, and Owen boosted and went to meet it, sword in hand. He was a Deathstalker, and the alien was about to find out what that meant. He swung his sword at the alien's neck with all his boosted strength, and the blade shattered against the unyielding armor. The alien's hands shot out and fastened onto his shoulders. Blood coursed down his arms as the claws sank deeply into his flesh and grated on bone. The creature tried to pull him closer, within reach of its horrid jaws, and Owen slammed the hand still holding the stub of his sword against the alien's chest. His boosted muscles strained against the alien's strength, but still he was pulled closer, inch by inch. Any other man would have been dead by now, and even with his boost and what the maze had done to him, Owen was still a man, and saw his death in the alien's unblinking crimson eyes. He glanced down at the hole in the alien's gut. At least Moon had heard it. An idea came to him, and he acted on it quickly before he could think about the implications too much. He grabbed a grenade from his pocket, primed it, and thrust it deep into the hole in the alien's gut. He let go of it, but before he could withdraw his hand, the sides of the hole clamped shut on his wrist. Owen tried to pull free and couldn't. So he gathered all his boosted strength and cut down savagely with the stub of blade in his other hand. The jagged steel tore through his wrist, severing his hand, and Owen threw himself backward out of the alien's reach. It brought its clawed hands to the hole in its gut, and the grenade, still wrapped in Owen's hand, exploded. Then the internal pressure blew the grinning head right off its shoulders. The body staggered back and forth for a long moment, its arms reaching out blindly, and then the strength went out of it suddenly, and it fell to the floor and lay still. Owen squeezed the stump of his wrist tightly with his other hand, shuddering uncontrollably. The blood jetted out at first, far further than he'd have thought possible, but it soon died away to a bare trickle. There was something he had to do, something important. His gaze wandered back and forth, and finally stumbled over Moon's decapitated head lying by the control panels. Owen shuffled forward on his knees through his own blood, still tightly gripping his wrist. The Hayden men. He had to wake the Hayden men. Hazel was depending on him. He reached the control panels and used them to pull himself to his feet. He leaned on it tiredly for a moment, spattering it with blood from his dripping wrist, and studied the controls. They made no sense to him at all. He glared down at Moon's head, stooped down and picked it up with his remaining hand, so he could glare into its empty eyes.
Moon, you bastard! What do I do? How do I awaken them? Tell me!
A faint golden glow appeared in Moon's eyes. His lips moved, and Owen lifted the head so that its mouth was by his ear. And very softly, he heard Moon whisper,
Blue, 3, 7, 7, 0.
Owen dropped the head and turned back to the panels. His lips were pulled back in a savage grin as he located the blue panel and punched in 3770. He turned away from the panels to look at the Tomb of the Hayden Men and cawed harshly with laughter as the ice melted and ran away. And light after light blazed in the cells of the giant honeycomb. He was still laughing when the cells opened, and the Hayden Men came forth in all their power and glory. Not all that long after, Owen sat quietly beside the dead Wampir, while Hazel fashioned a makeshift tourniquet around his left wrist. The wound seemed to have sealed itself, another legacy of the change the maze had wrought in him, but Hazel wasn't taking any chances. Giles was talking quietly with Captain Silence and Investigator Frost, disarmed and under guard by half a dozen unsmiling Hayden Men. Jack Random and Ruby Journey lay side by side on stretchers, also talking quietly. The Hayden Men had got to them while sparks of life still remained in them both, and then machines had repaired the damaged bodies with impressive speed. Ruby and Random were still very weak and would be for some time to come, but apparently they were expected to make a full recovery. Owen made the Hayden Men examine Moon, but they said it was too late for him. Owen told them how Moon had come back from the shores of death to give him the necessary codes to awaken them, and they nodded politely and told him to rest. He'd half expected the augmented men to kill him when they first emerged from their tomb, but for the moment at least, they couldn't do enough for their savior. They were tall and perfect and moved with inhuman grace, their eyes blazing like suns. They stopped the fighting in time to save Giles from the three remaining Wampir. Hazel and Frost had practically dueled each other to exhaustion and had to be almost pried apart, but the investigator had still wanted to fight when she saw the Hayden Men. In the end, Silence had to order her to give up her sword. And as easily as that, it was all over. Owen looked at the body of the Lord High Dram. Giles had gone to kneel beside it the moment the Hayden Men had led the three Wampir away. He looked up when Owen joined him, and said simply,
Grieve, kinsman. One of our family is dead.
He hadn't explained any further, and Owen hadn't pressed him. It could wait. Lots of things could wait now. He looked across at Random and Ruby, as Random turned his head slowly to smile at her.
Looks like we'll get to be part of the Great Rebellion after all. I wouldn't have put money on it. Still, think of the glory.
Think of the loot.
That too.
Owen would have liked to laugh, but he didn't have the strength. Hazel finished fussing with a tourniquet and looked at him sternly.
You should really dive into that regeneration machine of yours, or let the Hayden Men repair you.
Owen shook his head. I don't trust that machine after what Oz had it do to us. Who knows what other mental traps he might have programmed into it, or us. And I'm not sure I trust the Hayden Men that much either. My body will heal itself in time. I can feel it. Now, help me out, there's a dear. I want to talk to the captain. Hazel got him to his feet, and he walked more or less steadily over to Silence and Frost. Giles nodded and moved off to stand by Dram's body. The investigator glared at Owen coldly, but the captain inclined his head slightly. The Hayden Men had repaired his nose, but there was still a massive dark bruise between his eyes.
You're really not very impressive, Deathstalker, to have led the Empire such a chase.
I'll try harder. Now pay attention. You and the investigator are being allowed to return to the Empire alive for a reason.
We want you to tell the Iron Bitch that the rebellion has begun. The next time she sees us, we'll be leading an army specifically put together to kick her off the Iron Throne. Make her believe it, Captain. I want her to have plenty of time to squirm.
What about the Wampir? They're a bit strange, but they're still my crew.
They are staying here. The Haydenmen are fascinated by them. Why did you destroy the maze, Captain?
It was necessary. It was killing my people.
You don't know what you've done. It was a place of miracles, of possibilities. The future of humanity.
What future has humanity got if you lead the Haydenmen against the Empire? You might as well side with Shub.
The Haydenmen are not at all what I expected. The Empire has lied about many things. Maybe it lied about them, too. But don't worry. I'll keep an eye on them.
And what could you do to stop them?
You'd be surprised. The maze changed us, Captain. We're a lot more than we used to be.
It's time for change. The Empire is corrupt from top to bottom. I can vouch for that personally.
Think about what you're doing, Deathstalker. The Empire is currently under threat from two separate alien species, each of them possibly more technologically advanced than we are. Humanity itself is at risk. This is no time to fragment our attention and waste our resources.
There'll never be a better time. Who knows, maybe the aliens will side with us. You damned fools. I've seen one of the aliens. It makes that creature the Deathstalker killed look like a wet-nosed puppy. Then we'll deal with it when it appears. Tell the Iron Bitch. We're coming, Investigator.
And when you get there, I'll be waiting for you. I'll enjoy sticking your head on a pike, traitor.
Owen looked at Silence. Is she usually this cheerful?
This is restrained for her.
They found themselves sharing an understanding look,
while Hazel and Frost stared at them blankly. Don't judge us too harshly, Captain. We've been through a lot just recently. Lionstone has to fall. If it wasn't us, it would be someone else. Maybe even someone like you, Silence.
Never.
Everybody stand exactly where you are.
A loud, annoying voice was in all their ears.
This is Security Officer Stelmach, on the bridge of the Dauntless's main pinnace. I have the forward disruptor cannon aimed right at you. All rebels will give up their weapons immediately, or I'll open fire.
I wondered what had happened to him.
Can I just point out that if you open fire on them, you will also kill me and the Investigator?
You're expendable.
Somehow I just knew he was going to say that.
You see? This is the kind of thing we've been talking about.
Hold on just a minute. Who's this Stelmach? Did we miss one?
Apparently. And as a result, we are now staring down the barrels of a whole bunch of disruptor cannon. Any ideas?
Don't hurry me. I'm thinking.
I didn't come this far just to die now. What say we rush him?
After you.
There's gotta be something we can do!
I'm open to suggestions. We can't get at him, and he's got the big guns.
Looks like your rebellion just came to a sudden halt, traitor. Hand over your weapons, and I promise you'll live long enough to face trial and execution on Golgotha.
I'd rather rush him.
Relax, everybody.
A different voice was in all their ears.
This is Worf on the pinnace. I've just taken control of the weapon systems away from the somewhat excitable gentleman who was in charge. He's currently having a little lie down.
Who the hell's Worf? Did we miss one?
Apparently. All right, Worf. What happened to you? Why weren't you killed when the maze was destroyed?
I had my own way out of the maze. I'd been through it before. By the time I realized you were in trouble, it was all over bar the shouting. Luckily, I decided to see if there was anything useful on the pinnace.
Well, now that our hearts have all started beating again, hand your prisoner over to the Haydenmen. I think you'd better stay aboard the pinnace until it's ready to leave, and make sure the fire controls are taken offline before we let the captain or the investigator anywhere near it. I don't think I could stand another surprise at the moment.
Understandable.
Owen sighed heavily and looked round to see Giles beckoning to him. He moved over with Hazel at his side. Giles looked at him sternly.
You still have a decision to make, kinsman. What are you going to do about the Dark Void device? Will you use it against the Empire? Will billions die again?
You created it, and you used it. What do you think we should do?
No, I won't make that kind of decision ever again. I can't.
Then, I say no. You can't fight evil by becoming evil. Too many have died already. If I've become a rebel and a traitor against the Empire, it's to save and protect lives, not to take them. But we won't destroy the baby either. Let it sleep. And who knows? Perhaps in years to come, it will grow into something wonderful.
Well done, Aristo. You finally got it right.
They smiled at each other. And then Owen looked away at the perfect Hayden men emerging from their devastated city. Last survivors of a previous rebellion. Things would be different this time. He was the Death Stalker, and he had finally found his true destiny. More or less. Epilogue. Prelude to Rebellion. Captain Silence and Investigator Frost returned to the Dauntless on the pinnace, along with an unconscious Valiant Stelmach. They didn't speak to each other on the way up, but once back on the bridge, Silence immediately began preparations for an attack on the Wolfling world, only to find that none of his weapon systems were functioning. Something on the planet below had rendered them useless. Silence and Frost exchanged a long look, and then Silence gave the order to return to Golgotha. They would spend much of the trip home, trying to put together some kind of report that wouldn't get them both executed on the spot. Deep within the frozen Wolfling world, the ruined city of Hayden slowly came to life again. The Hayden men were everywhere, beautiful and perfect, working and repairing, and making all things new again. Ruby Journey and Jack Random slowly recovered from their injuries and spent the time plotting strategies and revenges against the Empire. Owen Deathstalker mourned the death of his friend Ozymandias, but found the time to deepen his friendship with Hazel Dark. They still argued a lot, though, mostly over politics. Giles, the original Deathstalker, mourned the death of his son in his own way, and brooded over the corrupt state of the Empire. He had learned much of present affairs from his new companions, but nothing that pleased him. The Empire hadn't always been as it was. Once, when he was a young man, it had been the greatest challenge of humanity, a dream of human destiny. But even in his own lifetime, he had watched the dream become a nightmare, and he had slept through centuries, only to find that things had grown even worse in his absence. The Wolfling remained undecided as to whether he would join the rebellion. He had seen enough death and destruction in his time, and had no appetite for any more. Back on Golgotha, the Empress Lionstone XIV silently studied the instruments that had told her of the Lord Hydram's death. He hadn't known about the implants she had placed in him. She hadn't wanted to worry him with details. But she liked to know where those close to her were at any given time. She had loved him in her way, but she didn't mourn. Instead, she began the process of reviving a clone of Dram she'd prepared earlier, just in case. In the subsystems, Finley Campbell and Evangeline Schreck made plans with the Esperant clone Undergrounds and the Uber-Esper Mater Mundi to revenge those who died storming Wormboy Hell and see the Empress and her Empire brought down, whatever it took. Valentine Wolf extended his control over his family, experimented with a few new drugs, and opened negotiations with the rogue AIs on Shub. Lord Kit Summerisle, also known as Kid Death, became a close friend of Lord David Deathstalker. The tides of power and influence shifted this way and that. The stage was set, the players in place. The rebellion could begin. We'll be right back. Deathstalker is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1995, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2002, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vandersliz. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for our complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.